Our guest today is Graham Sharp, the very successful Steep Canyon Rangers. They have a new album coming out, Arm in Arm, coming out later this year. Not out yet. You're going to hear a couple of tunes in advance of that release. We're going to talk to Graham Sharp about the band, a couple of tunes we're going to hear, and some plans they have for live shows. It's something I've never heard of, what they've developed in conjunction with a friend. It's going to be pretty interesting. They're going to do them in August, from what I understand. It may get popular after that. Hopefully they'll be available to do live shows using this process. But Graham's always a great guest on Unreal Bluegrass. First, let's listen to a brand new cut. This might be the first time you've heard it, In the Next Life, from Steep Canyon Rangers. That'll get us right into first part of our conversation with Graham Sharp. There, to the listening audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a new release, In the Next Life, written by my guest Graham Sharp, member of Steep Canyon Rangers, will be released on an album, Arm in Arm, on the Yep Rock album label. We'll talk about the release date, but first I want to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass, Graham Sharp. How have you been, Graham?
I've been okay. I appreciate it. Just had a lot of time on my hands recently, so trying to make the most of it. Our band, Steep Canyon Rangers, been going pretty hard for about 20 years now, so it's been nice to kind of stop and catch breath and, be around home a bit more. Obviously, there's lots of unsettling things going on in the outside world, but try to count my blessings here as much as possible.
Well, we all have to do that, and you're doing, and I see you on Facebook, and I see you doing different things, and it looks like you're kind of might be working on some solo tunes. I don't know if that's in the works or not, but I've seen you do some things that are not Steep Canyon Rangers material as of yet. I don't know that they're going to be part of the Arm in Arm thing, but there's nothing bizarre about that. I just think that everybody in your position as a performer must be really difficult. Like you said, the Steep Canyon Rangers have been hitting it really hard for 20 years, and all of a sudden you don't get any feedback from an audience at all, which, night after night after night, it's got to wear you out, and you reach the level of performance, exceptional level, but even when it ends, it's like, what do you do with that feedback?
Yeah, some of the stuff that we've been doing just lately, is more or less just trying to give a sort of a goal to keep shooting towards, So, like you say, I've, doing a few things solo and just like some live stream solo, because that's what I can do right now. Just having a few things like that. We have like a Patreon page, so, we do stuff weekly there.
Yeah.
Just having little small things to shoot toward is kind of, what I've found I need right now, just to keep, a reason to keep being creative. And it's a really good time to stop and kind of catch your breath, like I said, and try to get into a habit of being creative. And I've been writing a lot, a ton of new songs, and I think like a lot of bands will probably be ready to record a new album here any day now when it's okay to do so.
Arm in Arm, I think you have an official date. You can tell me when it's going to be released as a CD, the new album. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, I don't want to get too far beyond In the Next Life, which is what we opened up with, but when do you think the release date will be?
So it's going to be mid-October is the release date. So let's see, In the Next Life was the first single, and we rolled out another single called Every River last week. And then we got two more singles that'll come out, I guess, leading up to October. So, yeah, we're really excited. That record is the first one that we've ever really fully self-produced. So it's exciting. We did it in a beautiful studio in Nashville. It's at Zach Brown's studio called Southern Ground, or what was Zach Brown's studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Southern Ground. And, it's just, it's at once state of the art and also just totally comfortable and homey, and it's all kind of built around a kitchen, so you're kind of just more or less hanging out in the kitchen the whole time and making a record, which is great.
Is that where the video for Every River?
That's where the video was shot.
Okay.
Yep.
Steve Cannon, you had a lot of control, I think, and maybe you say this is the first one you've totally produced, which means more than I think just being part of the production. But you've always generated songs, other than the first couple of albums. Some of those tunes I remember having been recorded a long time ago, and I'm going way back because I go back with the Rangers. But you've always sort of produced in the sense that you've created the tunes that you're going to record. What I recall, almost everything is generated out of the band.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the case, and, you know, something we thought we needed to do, really from the very start, to just kind of have our own sound. And, you know, I felt like we always had all these players and people around and that we really looked up to, and the only way we could ever really figure that we could separate ourselves from anybody else was to kind of have our own songs and hopefully stamp out an identity through the songs. So that's, you know, that's been one constant. And, you know, like you say, that kind of leads to a version of, you know, producing yourself. You know, we're always kind of arranging tunes and working out stuff and trying stuff on stage constantly. So that's always been, you know, that's always been part of it. But, you know, in the studio, you get down and you make decisions that kind of can drastically affect the songs or the albums, whether it's what instruments you're going to use, whether it's the manner in which you record it, you know, all sorts of stuff that, you know, in the past, sometimes it's maybe easier to look to somebody and have somebody kind of make these decisions for you. But I feel like in the long run, coming to a consensus within the band, I think, helped this record at least.
The Steep Canyon Rangers have a very distinctive sound, I think, almost from the beginning. I don't know that it's just the vocals. I mean, you have a great vocal quality. Woody has an instantly recognizable sound because nobody else in bluegrass quite sings. And not only is he taller than everybody else, nobody else quite sings like that. So you have an instantly recognizable sound, not just from the vocals, but the instrumentation. And I think because of so many songs originate within the band, I know that you write an awful lot of them, but how do you think that the new album Arm in Arm is going to continue? Certainly it'll be recognizable in that distinctive sound, but are there any things that you think, since you're now in the production part of it, you're adding to or taking away or reemphasizing, or what do we think the new album Arm in Arm is going to sound like as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's always, you're making choices on what you're going to, like, whether you're adding or taking away and what that's going to bring to it. You know, we have songs where we had it arranged with everybody in the band, you know, and you kind of have an idea for how the song's going to go, and then all of a sudden backstage one day you hear two people just playing that song together, and you're like, oh, that's how that song should go. So, you know, having the benefit of being familiar with a lot of the tunes and kind of hearing them in different settings, I think it was a, you know, a benefit of kind of having taking the reins ourselves. But, you know, I think it's, you know, when you say there's things that are unique about the Steep Canyon Rangers, and, you know, and John Hartford said, you're kind of defined by your limitations. So I think you got to really try to pay attention to exactly where the strengths are and play to those. And it kind of goes song by song. You know, is this a song that you want to hear just really just a voice telling a story and not much else? Or is this a song that kind of the music really informs it? Maybe the music is even more important than the lyrics in this song as far as the feel goes. So I think the album really goes back and forth between, like, I mean, you hear on, like, that first track, I mean, I don't think, like, at one time we've ever had vocals quite as uncovered as they are in that song, but then there's also, like, you know, really full instrumentals in there too. So I think it was, you know, a chance for us to really, you know, exercise some new muscles and just have fun. I mean, I can't remember ever having as much fun in the studio as we did on this record.
Well, you know, you want to say, what would be the point without fun? Of course, there's a point to it, but it's great if you can have this goal in mind as a band and you're producing your own album, and it's great also that you can have fun and enjoy what you're doing as the thing is being shaped together. I think that's just a plus. I know that you wrote in The Next Life, there's a line in there that recurs. I've still got karma to burn. I'm writing that down as one of my favorite. I'm just looking for the opportunity to use it with somebody. But that song is a great tune, and I love the way it comes back to that.
So I wrote that song. The guy with a fellow named Frank Serio, And then Michael Ashworth, who's our drummer and plays all sorts of stuff, you know, wrote some of it with me as well. But Frank's initial idea for that song was Karma to Burn. And he had been around a campfire at a festival one night, and somebody late at night, I don't know if he was upset or whatever, but he had kind of stalked off, and he was like, all right, whatever, I got Karma to Burn.
Yeah.
And Frank said he wrote that down and had it on a sticky note in his car, like on the dashboard, for a couple of years before I saw him at a festival, and he was like, you and I are going to write this song, Karma to Burn. And I had that in my head for, you know, a while and thrown it around all sorts of different ways. We finally sat down to write it. And it wasn't until the very end of, I mean, we'd probably been sitting there for 2 or 3 hours kind of working on this song. And right at the very end, I feel like we got to what is actually now the chorus in the song. So, yeah, it came together really strangely. But, yeah, that line, Karma to Burn, was actually the first it's the last line of the chorus, but it was actually the first sort of inspiration for it.
And see, that's amazing to me. And if you're just tuning in on Real Bluegrass, I'm happy to welcome back Graham Sharp of Steep Canyon Rangers. But it's amazing to me how many songwriters, not just performers, but songwriters who, and they always have those little pieces of paper stuck all over. Now they use a recorder maybe for an idea, but they always have little notes stuck all over the place. And it may not be the next week, it might be a year, it might be a note they made in a notebook 3 years earlier, and all of a sudden something clicks. I can't imagine how that works through your mind, and I think it's an amazing process of which I know nothing, but I mean, I think it's a great song.
Well, I mean, it really is. It's kind of like a mental sort of Rolodex of lines, images, ideas, you know, and that's what these last few months of being home have been an opportunity. I've gone through, like, old notebooks and, like you say, notes on my phone, little voice memos on my phone, and just picked through stuff and, you know, kind of reminded myself of that. And I think a lot of the songs that I've done in the last couple months have just come strictly from that.
There's another tune I want you to set this up that I have access to every river. A couple things about it, though. You play an interesting instrument that it's a video. There's a really nice video of this tune out, and there's a couple cuts of you. Only the second time through the video do I see the fifth string peg, because I kept thinking, what is that sound? And talk a little bit about Every River. I know you had co-writers with that, but because I'm a banjo player, I want to know what the heck you were playing the slide banjo, but I don't know what it was.
Right, so I was at Merlefest a couple years ago and walked into the big instrument tent there and saw this banjo almost first thing. And it looks like something out of Mad Max, you know. It's kind of bronze metal front, you know. It looks kind of Art Deco-ish almost. But so I pick it up, and it's an amazing instrument. It's called Reichard Banjos out of Canada. They mostly make old-time open-back banjos, but for some reason they made this kind of dobro banjo hybrid, and it's got a pickup in it, so it's got some you plug it in, and you know, I'd never seen it played this way, you know, and some of the people who've been playing it around and made videos of it, but I just figured I'd try it with the slide. I love the sound of the slide, and you know, just to give a different element to the banjo. Usually the banjo is so doesn't have a lot of sustain, it's just really percussive and quick, but to have that sort of ability to sustain some notes and just add some different sounds to the band. So that's a plugged-in Reichard Resophonic banjo with a slide on that tune.
The Reichard makes, which everybody's now switching to them, I haven't yet, but the new tuners that are 10-to-1 ratio versus 4-to-1, I know those are becoming in vogue from the same company, I think, that makes this Resophonic banjo. And I know they have a lot of great benefits. I just haven't had the need to do that because I don't perform all the time, but I don't know if you've switched over to those yet. I know that it's coming, and it seems to be that what it gives, you can explain to the listener what 10-to-1 versus 4-to-1 might mean for a banjo player, because we have a hard enough time keeping things in tune anyway. But what's 10-to-1 versus 4-to-1, since we're talking about Reichard?
Well, it just means that your ratio is just much more exact. You have a lot more control over your pitch, and you know, people can tell all sorts of banjo jokes they want, but I think banjo players are very particular about being in tune, and they're usually pretty darn good at it. So, that's what those 10-to-1 tuners are. And you can see it on that video. And you know, the video is great because we actually had a guy in there filming while we were putting it down. So the actual track on the album is what is filmed on that video.
And the 10-to-1 means as you turn the string is moving less, so you don't have to take such big gulps of the string as you're trying to retune to another.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're super fine tuned.
Yeah. Fiddle players have always kind of done that because they have tuners and they have those little, I don't know how they work, but you know, between the bridge and whatever, where they can kind of fine tune.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, Reichard is they were really kind and. You know, really set me up with that banjo. I love using it. I actually used it on In the Next Life. Used the same banjo, but without a slide.
Okay.
I don't know if I used picks or my bare fingers. I can't remember. But so, yeah, there's the two tracks, I think, on the record that I used that banjo.
And was it plugged in on In the Next Life?
It was plugged in, but I don't think it was quite as distorted. You know, there's a little distortion on every river you'll hear on the slide.
Well, we're talking about every river, Graham. Sharp, why don't you talk about that? We'll play that. I'm going to come back and talk to you about some things that the Steep Canyon Rangers are going to do. I know you got some other events coming up that were tentatively set for an outdoor setting, but set up a little bit more if you need to. Every River, which is a great video, is available for people to watch. But you might want to talk about that song. I know you co-wrote it. I don't know Philip Barker at all, so I'm asking you to help me out.
You will know Philip Barker when I miss him because he's the mandolin player for Town Mount.
Oh, sure. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, so Phil, he lives here in Asheville, and Town Mountain, fantastic, one of my favorite bluegrass bands.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a tune that Phil and I wrote together a little while back, and I love the tune. You know, I really couldn't be more thrilled with it. It's kind of, as far as the album goes, you know, it's kind of more of a big picture song. You know, a lot of songs on the album are really kind of focused on kind of like smaller details or, I don't know, little things and little moments, but this is kind of a big picture kind of anthem song.
And it's a pretty cool video. It starts out very informally, and I think a lot of it, you said your banjo playing was actually... let me ask one more question about the banjo. On the head, because it's black and white, it doesn't have a normal banjo head on it, right? Isn't that a metal? Is that something metal on where the banjo head would be? I can't tell.
The whole face of the banjo is that bronze metal with some slits cut out in it, you know, to project the sound if you're playing acoustically.
Okay.
There's almost nothing banjo-y about it except for that it's five strings, you know, with the shortened fifth string. So it's laid out like a banjo, but other than that, it is its own beast.
It's pretty cool. I can't wait to see one. I'm going to play for the listeners in Every River that I'm going to come back and talk to Graham Sharp, Steep Canyon Rangers, a little bit more than I'll let him get back to his busy day. So we'll be right
back.
All right. We'll be right back. There, the listening audience just heard Every River, which will be released on Arm in Arm, the new album from Steep Canyon Rangers, set to be released in later October. And I have on the phone Graham Sharp, banjo player extraordinaire, also slide banjo player extraordinaire, guitar player of Steep Canyon Rangers. Here's something we talked about off the air, because I noticed this on, it must have been an email or something, that the Rangers have set up a couple of things in August, which you might call a drive-in show.
Yep.
But explain what's going on there.
Yeah, so, we've got some shows. We had a fellow we work with on the other Steve Martin tour, the tour for the other Steve Martin and Martin Short shows we do, has a big part of it is the video board, big LED screen. So the fellow who does all those shows owns the company, and I guess he was approached by somebody, you know, a few months ago to develop this. Basically, it's a truck. It's all-in-one production truck. So you pull it up, a stage kind of rolls out the side of the truck, pretty large stage, 4-foot-tall stage rolls out the side of the truck. An LED screen, 16 by 16, pulls out of the top of the truck, and then he has a transmitter in the truck that shoots the whole signal out to AM, I think AM radio frequency. So there's no PA, there's no stage sound. All the sound that people are getting is going to come to their cars. They'll pull up, have the screen to see the band will be there. They can turn up their radios, and that's where the sound will be. And we've got just tons of great local sponsors here, so the shows are going to be free. I mean, they're already sold out, you know, I say sold, but their tickets were free, but they're all full. You know, we've got three nights in kind of three different locations around Western North Carolina. And then we're going to stream them mostly on Facebook, I guess, and there'll be a free live stream as well. So you know, it's a great way to connect with the community. I think we've got some nonprofits roped in that'll be getting proceeds if people want to donate for the live stream. So, you know, it was a great way to just kind of bring some music to the community. And I think it's going to be wonderful. You know, we're really focusing on keeping it safe and responsible for everybody, and that there's going to be, everybody's going to have to, you know, be very aware of the rules and follow the rules. We're not going to turn it into any kind of dance party out there as much as everybody would like to. It's going to be stay in the cars, listen to the show.
So two things I want to make clear on this. This process, this procedure that you're using, and the dates are on the website and where they are. You say they're already maxed out, I think. So two things. This procedure is not dependent upon being an old drive-in theater. There aren't many of those even left in the kind of the empty stage. You just need a space to pull this truck up and a place for people to park their cars.
Yep. So, you know, a couple of them are in a parking lot. One of them is just in a big field. That's all it requires. It's kind of this all-in-one self-contained truck. And, you know, it's a big operation to get that truck down here and pull together. So we had to really lean on some sponsors and people who want to, you know, provide this for the community. And then we'll send it out on the internet for three nights in a row for anybody out there who wants to watch it.
I've not heard of this being done yet. I know that people have been trying to set things up with the distancing and making it also a live performance. I've seen the show. I mean, I came to see Steve. I'm the other. I've come to see Steve Martin and Martin Short and you, Steep Canyon Rangers. So you're telling me that giant screen, if the listeners haven't seen that show when it was rolling around, there's a huge video screen that actually is the introductory act. I mean, the video screen they've got put together has clips and things of Martin Short and Steve Martin, hysterical. People's laughing. People are laughing hysterically before anyone even comes out. That video is done so well. I mean, that's the guy that put that screen together that's working on this.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a great fella, and you know, he's got, you know, like the rest of us, he's trying to figure out how to work. And so I think they've built two of these trucks now that are for hire, that they're going to be doing, you know, events, concerts, that kind of thing, all with like a drive-in format.
And, you know, I think when things, and I'm just finishing up my chat with Graham Sharp of Steep Canyon Rangers, I think when things come back to normal, whatever that's going to be, well, let's say they come back to a point where you can pay a ticket price and go see the Steep Canyon Rangers perform live on stage like they always do. I think even when that comes back, whenever it is, I think some of the spin-off technology in a very difficult time for performing artists and musicians and record labels, I think there's going to be new technology. I didn't know about this at all, but I kept thinking somebody's going to invent a way that'll survive, whether it's YouTube or whether it's a Facebook connection with better cameras and better mics. But this is exactly what you think someone would come up with in the need. And there's two of them now. I mean, it could be that they're used frequently, even when venues are open for live performances. It could be that these things take on a different. And I think that, I mean, sit in your car and turn on the radio, I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, you can almost do it rain or shine, you know. So, you know, and I mean, I think that's, you know, a great way to look at it. And we've kind of tried to focus some of what the Rangers are doing right now is just use this time to kind of bolster everything we can, and hopefully when we come back, we'll be able to come back stronger and a little better in a lot of areas that, you know, maybe we had not focused on as much in the past. So that's what we're doing, and that's what we're going to keep doing.
I would like to then, with your permission, Graham, last year, I think it was late last year, Steep Canyon Rangers re-recorded one of my favorite tunes, Be Still Moses. You re-record them with a symphony and also Boys to Men, which add a nice vocal depth. And then at the end, they do one of their own little building climax things to the end of the vocal. But I'd like to play that at the end of this interview.
Great. Well, this Be Still Moses, you know, was a song that I wrote years ago driving through Asheville here where I live. And my son was in the back seat. He was just a little one at the time, and I was trying to sort of get him to be quiet and take his nap, so I had him in his car seat driving around town. And when you write a song, any song, but especially in a situation like that, you really don't expect that someday, you know, your middle school, high school you know, hit maker band, Boyz II Men would be singing it on an album. And, you know, it's just one of those things. The guy, Michael Silver, who produced this record with the Asheville Symphony, felt strongly about getting some guests on this album. And when he came to us with the Boyz II Men idea, it sounded crazy. But it gives me chills when I hear what they do with this song and with the symphony on it. And there's actually a great video out there of us doing it live with them on stage at a concert in Nashville at the Schermerhorn Concert Hall there. And I couldn't be more proud of where this little band is still
posted. Oh, it's great. It was always great before, and it's just that little extra punch in there. And Boyz II Men, I guess, when were they popular then? I'm thinking back to when, I'm not saying they're not popular now, but they were really hitting the charts for a while, and they had great
early
vocals.
90s.
Yeah, okay, early 90s. They had great, powerful vocals, and they still do. But let me ask you this then, I'm going to leave with that. But have you performed much in front of symphonies? I can't imagine what that would be like compared to what you're normally doing.
Yes, the symphonies are wonderful. You know, we've done probably, I don't know, maybe 20 shows with symphonies, all over the country. And, they're amazing. You know, the way the day usually works is we get out there for rehearsal with the symphony. The symphony is skeptical because here comes this bluegrass band, comes with all those expectations. And then, you know, by the time sound check is over, you know, they maybe have a little more respect, you know. And we try to pick music that's interesting for a symphony that has, like, different parts, you know. And we've written arrangements where we'll actually step aside or step off stage, and the symphony plays through a section that's been arranged just for them. And we try to really integrate the symphony. And then by the end of the show, it's unanimously, like, everybody is happy and feels good about it. So I really miss those symphony shows. We hadn't done them in a little while, but hopefully we can pick back up some of those.
I have to tell you a funny story really quick. It'll only take 30 seconds. The Osborne Brothers performed with a symphony out in, I think, Phoenix years and years ago. And so they come out, and that's the Osborne Brothers, and the symphony has no idea who these people are. And there's a little bit of snickering the way Sonny tells the story. A little bit of snickering, and, you know, they're going to do Rocky Top, which I think by then they'd done a gazillion times. And there's a little bit of snickering, and Sonny turns around. This is back when he was full of that type of responsibility. I don't mean responsibility. I mean responsibility. He was in full form. He turns to the symphony and says, and they were just in warm-ups. He turns to the symphony and says, look, when you sell 6 million copies of a record, you can laugh at Rocky Top. And they all had no words to say, and the director later came to me and said they actually needed to hear that.
That's awesome.
I asked him, had you really sold 6 million? He says, I don't know. I just made up the number, but it made the point.
Point made.
All right, man. Listen, thanks, Graham Sharp. I look forward to the new Arm in Arm. I always look forward to everything from Steep Canyon Range. We'll look for that to drop near the end of October. Thanks so much for taking time to be on Unreal Bluegrass one more time. I will play that new version of Be Still Moses with Boyz II Men and the Symphony, and I'll let you get on your way.
Appreciate it, Steve. I really, really, really enjoy being here and chatting with you, man. So take care. We'll do it again soon.
All right, I'll see you. Bye.